that song. Amen. His wounds have paid my ransom. Thank God. To take your Bibles tonight and go to 2 Kings chapter number 12. 2 Kings chapter number 12. I'm going to be very brief tonight, but very serious. If you're visiting with us tonight, if this can help you, that's wonderful. But I'm mainly preaching to our church tonight. Probably one of the subjects I least enjoy preaching on, but time to time I need to do it. Sometimes we wonder why you don't do things that you ought to do. And a lot of times it's our fault because we don't teach you. Amen. Children must be trained, and we're God's children. We must be trained also. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter number 12, I'll go ahead and kill the spirit right quick. I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about money tonight. I can't even remember the last time that I devoted an entire sermon to our money and our tithes and offerings, but I'm going to do that tonight, and the Lord just wouldn't let me out of it. So you stay with us, and you'll think I'm fussing at you, but I'm not. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Brother Stacy and I were talking. He said, I'm afraid we've got a lot of people that can't afford to tithe. And I said, you're right. And you know why they can't? Because they don't tithe. Amen. Amen. You will never prosper by keeping what belongs to God. But I want to show you a pattern tonight in 2 Kings chapter number 12. Probably won't be real exciting tonight. We was exciting enough tonight, or this morning, for both this morning and tonight. So just kind of sober and serious tonight. In 2 Kings chapter number 12, there is a priest by the name of Jehoash, and he's got a burden because the house of God is in disrepair and it needs work. And I want you to jump over to verse number 9 so we don't have to read the whole chapter. In verse number 9, but the Bible said, but Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it. Sounds like an offering plate, don't it? Said he took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so when they saw that there was much money in the chest that the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put it in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money, being told, in the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, and to masons and hewers of stone to buy timber and hewed stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, for all that was laid out for the house of the Lord to repair it. Howbeit there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought to the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. And I'm going to stop reading right there. This entire chapter deals about money and the repairing of the house of the Lord. I'm going to give you five words that I believe will help us tonight. I'm not going to ask you to openly raise your hand whether or not you tithe. I remember when I first got saved, I heard that word about tithe. I didn't understand what that was. And then one day I learned that it's a tenth. It's a tenth of all my resource, all my income that I give back to God. Amen. I always just thought you gave an offering. And an offering is not a tithe. An offering is beyond a tithe. Amen. My missions would be offering. When we take up a love offering, that would be an offering, but it is not my tithe. It's not a tenth of my income. The tithe is already the Lord's. The Bible said the tenth is the Lord's. Amen? So when we keep that back, we're not only hurting the church, but we're hurting ourselves. My wife is here tonight, and she would tell you that this is 100% true. For years, when we first got married, after we got saved, I would fuss at her for putting too much money in the offering plate. And she'd say, well, we're supposed to give 10%. I said, not on my salary we don't. And I'd snatch a $20 bill out of the offering plate in a heartbeat. Amen. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought dollars was what you took to church. Amen. Amen. Y'all nod your head. I knew this would be dead as a hammer tonight. If you tithe, you'd be saying amen. Amen. So anyway, you heard the story about the $100 bill and the $20 bill and the dollar bill had a conversation. $100 bill, said, man, I've been all over the world. I've been on cruise ships, airplanes. I've traveled. I've seen every country on the planet. And the $20 bill said, wow. He said, I've been to some of the finest restaurants in town and big department stores. And they looked at the dollar, and he said, I've never been anywhere but the church. Amen. But I thought dollars was for the offering plate. One day I was out fishing with one of the men of our church, Brother Roger Cole. He's in heaven now. And we was fishing a bass tournament. And Brother Roger said, Eddie, do you tithe? I said, well, I give offering. He said, I didn't ask you that, boy. I asked you if you tithe. And right there in that bass boat, Brother Roger took me to school and taught me about tithing and giving unto the Lord. And honest before the Lord, before then, my wife and I struggled as bad as anybody ever did financially. We went through some hard, hard, tough days. I'm talking about watching your cars being towed out of the driveway, that kind of thing. We've been there. We started giving unto the Lord like we're supposed to give unto the Lord, and those kind of troubles just seemed to go away. Amen. Even in this bad economy, brother, we hadn't missed a thing. We've got everything we need, and then more blessings adding on the top of that. Amen. And I believe it's the direct reason is because we give to God first before we give anything else. I don't pay the light bill and the water bill and the mortgage and the insurance. I don't pay all those things. And then if I've got enough left, I'll give God what's His. No, I put God first and I give God what's His right off the top. Somebody said, oh no, you're another money-hungry preacher. If you go to this church, you know better than that. I hadn't had a raise in over 12 years. Wouldn't take one if you offered it. Amen. So I'm not money grubbing. I'm not trying to get anything for myself. But what you've got to understand, the first word I want to use in our message tonight is the word building. The word building. And in chapter number 12, there were two major objects in this story. One was money, the other was a building. One problem was the lack of money, and another problem was the shape that the building had gotten in. Amen. I don't know if you understand it or not, but this place takes money to operate and to run. Anybody got an idea about what the power bill averages on this building? And by the way, we have three. $3,000. That's a month just on this building. You're a member of this church, you should know these things. Amen. You should know what it takes to run these things. Got any idea what it costs to gas all those buses every week and the insurance that comes due every quarter? It's a lot. And the mortgage, the $6,000 a month mortgage. You start adding all this stuff up, it's a lot. And you know what? I don't want to beat you up over it tonight, but it's our responsibility. Amen. It's not the world's responsibility. I know we always talk about pray God would send some money in. He already has. We have the money. The only problem is it's still in your pocket. Amen. You say, well, we're basically poor people. We are. But when you put a lot of poor people together, a lot of poor people can get a lot done. Amen. They say that in the average church that it's not the millionaires that give the most. They say it's the people who have the least that give the most. Amen. So I'm not worried about whether or not we're poor or whether or not we're rich. We're where God put us. And God put us in this building. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't want to beat a dead horse because you've heard it so many times. But it's an absolute miracle that we moved from our little building in Dallas and moved into this building and was even approved for the loan. I mean, it was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle. When First Baptist Church forgave the second mortgage, $250,000, with interest, that would have wound up being closer to $500,000. And they just wiped the debt off and said, you don't owe us a dime. And we got to burn the loan agreement. We got to burn that thing right here on a Sunday night. Amen. That was a miracle of God. That was God saying, hey, Happy Valley, I'm trying to help you. Now help me help you. Amen. Now, some of you are hurting yourself because you think you have this mentality that just because it don't add up on your little legal pad where you've got your bills figured up and you can't make it all work with your calculator. Listen, God doesn't work according to a calculator. And you've got to understand that. Listen, when you learn how can you trust God with your life, your marriage, your children, and everything else, when you can't trust Him with 10% of what He's given you already. I'm going to use Miss Stacy just for a minute. This morning, actually Wednesday night, we were at Fullerville. Our choir sang down there, and Miss Stacy had been without work, and Rusty's been without work, and they hadn't had any income for a long time. And man, we've had fundraisers and took up offerings and everything in the world to help them. Well, Wednesday night, she got a job a couple of weeks ago, and Wednesday night she came into Fullerville and she had a tithing envelope in her hand, and she handed that thing to me. She said, "Here's my first tithe," and I said, "Don't give that to me now. Wait till Sunday." She said, "No, I want to give it to you." Had a grin from ear to ear. And I just stuck it in my Bible and I handed it back to her in the choir this morning. I said, "Here, you put that in there." Amen. She was excited. You know what? She was appreciating the fact that she had something finally that she could give back to God. Amen. Listen, a lot of times when we take for granted what God has given us, God takes that away. Let me say that again. Now, there's a lot of you that were jobless a year and a half ago. There were 20-something people in our church without work at one time. I helped pray you in a job. I helped pray you in a job. Now, just as easily as you lost that one, if you continue, and I know the mentality, I thought the same way. There is no way we can afford to do this. This does not fit in our budget. God will not let you keep what already belongs to Him. You mark her down. Brother Earl, my pastor, used to say, "You're going to tithe somewhere." It may be the transmission man. It may be the doctor. It may be the refrigerator or the washing machine. Amen. How many of you have ever feel like, man, it's just always something? Yeah. When I was younger and I was a licensed plumber by trade and I always did side work. Y'all know what that means? I worked for a company, but I did work on the side, and I'd string lights up at night and put plumbing in these new houses around here. Me and Brother Ollie Matthews, we'd work all night long and make side money. I'd just about kill myself. And back then, my wife handled our bills. I do it now. I would take her all that money, and then she'd say, "Well, we can't pay this and we can't pay that." And I honestly felt like I was working all that extra time for nothing. You ever ever felt like that? I felt like I was doing all this for nothing, because no matter what I did, it didn't get any better. So why not just quit the side work? Why not just quit working to midnight every night, stringing lights through a house and nearly killing myself, and to make extra money when the extra money don't help anyway? That's the way I felt. That's exactly the way I felt. But you know what? One day, I got in a bass boat with Roger Cole. And Roger said, "That church that sits on the hill over in Dallas, White Oak Springs Baptist Church," he said, "that's your church." Yes, sir. He said, "Whether or not the lights burn is your responsibility." Yes, right. He said, "And it's my responsibility." Yeah. He said, "Whether or not them buses roll that you're so proud of, that you got saved off of one of them," he said, "whether or not them buses roll or not, it's up to you and me." He said, "If we don't do our part," he said, "yeah, we got a couple people in our church that's got money, but what if something happened to them?" He said, "We can't depend on people who are able to give large sums." He said, "It takes every one of us working together." And by the way, if it took everybody working together at White Oak, it's going to take everybody working together at Happy Valley. Amen. You say, "Oh, but the economy." Well, it doesn't matter. Hey, if you only made $100 this week, 10 of it's God's. Amen. Amen. And chances are you're going to waste it on something anyhow. Amen. So we've got the building in our story in verse number five. Look at that right quick. He said, "Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found." Anywhere there's a problem, he said, we need to get that thing fixed. We need to gather up this money, get the money in here, and get this place took care of. You realize we got gutters falling off the building? What happens? You get used to seeing this place every week, and you don't notice what all's wrong, so you take it for granted. We're not about to lose our building, but God could take this away from us. He gave it to us. He could take us away, but it'd have us meeting in a chicken house somewhere. He really could, and I don't want that to happen. I want to do my part. Somebody said, "Preacher, do you practice what you preach?" Brother Tom's right back there. Brother David's right back there. They'll tell you, what's the first thing I do when I get to church on Sunday morning? I sit down. I write two checks. I write one to the church, or they're both to the church. Then I write one for my tithe, and by the way, which my tithe also has offering tacked on to that. And I make less than quite a few of you. There's an offering tacked on to that. And then I write a second check, and that's for my missions, for my faith promise giving to our missionaries. Amen. When we took them on, I considered that part of my responsibility too. I'm not just responsible whether or not my wife and my children eat, but I'm responsible for whether every one of them missionaries on the mission field. I have a part in that and a responsibility to help care for them. So we saw in verse number 5, the building needed to be repaired. Amen? And if you notice in this chapter, if you read the whole thing, I don't know how many times this phrase is used, the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. He talks about the house of the Lord over and over and over. And by the way, I mentioned it a little bit this morning. This is the house of God. God doesn't dwell in a box like he did in the Old Testament. Amen. He dwells in our hearts, but this building is dedicated unto the Lord. It's dedicated to his work. This ain't a bingo parlor. This ain't a jazzercise room. Amen. This is the house of God. We meet here, but the song said, brethren, we have met to worship. Now listen, we're not only stewards with our money, but we're stewards with the building that God gave us. Yes, sir. We don't worship a building, but we sure are thankful we have one. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine all of us crammed into a storefront downtown? Wouldn't happen, would it? Wouldn't happen. To operate a ministry the size of this and with everything we've got going on Sunday morning there are four services going on at one time. Yep. Am I right about four? It is four, isn't it? You've got adult church right here. You've got children's church right down the hall where Brother Jerry and Miss Irene and Jason and them. And then out in the gym, you've got Brother Greg and Miss Susan, Brother Thomas with our junior church. And then in the back of the gym, you've got Brother Allen with our teens. That's all going on at the same time. There's more going on Sunday morning than you can shake a stick at. And some people never see past these four walls. They ain't got a clue. But there's a lot happening here. What I'm saying is God took this building away from us. It'd take a lot to replace for us to be able to do what we do. Amen. This building is our responsibility. The Lord mentioned it many times. Now, I want to talk about it with this building. It's not just your money. It's your treatment of it. It's your treatment of it. I get phone calls all the time. Brother, any church is unlocked. If we trusted you with the key, we thought you had sense enough to lock it when you left. Churches are being robbed everywhere. Everywhere you look, sound systems are being ripped off. Churches are being desecrated. Devil worshipers are coming in and doing things I won't even mention from the pulpit on the altars. I'm telling you, we need to lock these doors when we leave. Amen. Amen. It's your responsibility. And God's going to hold not just me. Well, you're the pastor. Yeah, I can't run up here every time you don't lock a door. Amen. Sometimes I think, boy, God, don't even let me know who done this. Because I don't want to be mad at you. But it does make me mad. And you got to leave. And go. Well, you're out somewhere doing something. I got a call on my cell phone one time. I was in Pennsylvania. And they said, preacher, you used to. The police station down here had my cell phone number. They hadn't called in a while. And they would call my cell phone. They'd make rounds at night and shake the doors. And they'd call me in the middle of the night. Preacher, doors is open. I'm in Pennsylvania. I can't do nothing. In other words, I'm saying you got a responsibility to help care for this place. Amen. This sanctuary should not look like, and I know part of the problem is we give candy to kids. And we're going to keep giving candy to kids. But we got to teach parents some responsibility to pick up around yourself from the candy wrappers your children have eaten. Amen. We okay tonight? I know we ain't shouting and running aisles now. This is needful. You need it. I need it. Our church needs it. We need to be reminded of what our responsibility is. Now listen, a lot of people, they wouldn't give if you begged them or if you held a gun to their head. But boy, when they have a need. When they have a need, they sure do appreciate it when the church passes that plate. Amen? We have a responsibility. I'm just going to say a couple things about our building, about our property. And this is one I've been getting hit with an awful lot. And it's always been this way, but it has to stop. And it has to stop now because it's just not right. And it's my job to tell you when something just ain't right. Amen. If you didn't put it there, it doesn't belong to you. Amen. You boys out there playing ball in the gym. Brother Casey, I forgot about you, brother. I'm sorry. He wants to say something. I'll let you do that at the end of the service. If y'all out there playing ball and there's 2-liter Cokes in the refrigerator, that's been bought and put there for somebody's class, for the bus ministry. It was put there for a reason. Somebody bought it to use in the ministry. It's not yours. If you want a drink, bring you one. If there's ice cream or popsicles or whatever, if you want that, bring you one. Amen. It's not yours, don't take it. Everybody gripes around here because everything's locked up. We have no choice. We have no choice because we got a church full of thieves. Let me give you my Osteen here. It's the truth. And I know you don't mean it that way. You're not thinking about it when you're doing it, but you're stealing. You're stealing. Amen. We had to put a lock on the door back here on where my refrigerator's at. And I know you didn't think nothing about it. You go in there and get a bottle of water. Dollar a pop. Boy, it got quiet. Brother Tom said, we're going through over a case of water a week, and you only drink one each time when you're preaching. Where's it going? The thieves got it. Amen. This place is our responsibility, and we just need to tighten up a little bit. We work awful hard. This building is used. I mean, if this building had a mind, I bet it would think, oh, man, I wish we had First Baptist back. This old girl would say, they had a janitor that took care of me every single day. And if one thing was out of place, they took care of it. If one thing was broke, they fixed it. And they only used me about 2.5 hours a week. Amen. We wear this thing out, brother. Everything we've got is used for multiple purposes, and I mean, it's just wide open. So when you use something that much, it takes more maintenance and more care. Amen. And we could do a little better than what, we could do a lot better than what we're doing. So number one tonight, when we're talking about our money, we need to think about our building. This is not Eddie White's church. It's the Lord's, and He's left it in our care. And if you remember, it's as much your responsibility as it is mine. Amen. Amen. And another thing, and I'm on a soapbox tonight, and just some things that I've been hearing and things that I've been seeing about our ministry and our church that bugs me. Here's one of my pet peeves. This is not a storage place. When something's lost, this ain't lost and found. This is my pulpit. Amen. And it's used to preach the Word of God from. I just thought I'd throw that in. I'm just letting you know, I never gripe, but it aggravates me when people just put stuff in. I'm thinking, what is this? Amen. We ought to just have a little more respect for our church. Clean up after yourself. Pick up after yourself. Listen to me. Are you guys? If your children play in the gym on Friday night while y'all have an RU, clean up before you leave. Amen. Hey, bus workers. You know what God did just a few weeks ago? A man came in here we'd never seen in our life, wanted to talk to me after church, standing right there on the porch on Sunday morning. He said, preacher, you ain't fixing to quit the bus ministry anytime soon, are you? I said, no, sir. He said, I want to give you a nice bus. Yeah. I mean, God's given us every bus we've got. I believe every bus we have, we got for $1 a piece. I'm pretty sure everything we've got now came from Carroll County, except for, no, they didn't, Brother Freddie. Several of them. But the one we just got, we bought for $1. I know there's another one out there we bought for $1. $1! God did that. Those are His buses.
That's
right. I was in the bus ministry all my life. My mama was a bus captain for 25 years. Most of you have a broom on your bus. Before your last kid gets off, appoint you some helpers on your bus. Give your bus children some responsibility. Let them feel like they're a part of what you're doing. So, hey, Johnny, here's a broom. Before we get to your house, would you sweep down the aisle? I bet they would. And be tickled to death that you thought enough of them to ask them to help you. Amen? Let's take care of what we got. It burns my hide. And I see somebody walking through the parking lot, and there's a paper cup or something, and you just walk over it and keep going. It's just little things, but they add up, and they mean a lot. Amen? This is our building. Let's not take it for granted. I wonder when the last time, I know you thank God for your church, us. When's the last time you thank God for the facilities? God, thank you for the place you've given us to worship. Amen? And it's a miracle of God. We're sitting in this building tonight. And we've been here. They said we wouldn't last a year. That's what all the brethren in the community said. Why, they won't make it a year. They can't afford that place. And we can't. We still can't. But boy, God sure has kept us here for 15. Yes, no, we didn't make it a year. We've made it 15 so far. Yeah. And by the grace of God. And I believe God will bless us. See, sometimes I'm afraid we put God in a position where he wants to help and he wants to bless us, but he can't.
That's right.
Because we're not doing our part.
Yeah.
Amen. If you buy your child something and he mistreats that something, while he's in the midst of mistreating whatever that is, you're not going to go buy him another one. Until he learns to take care of what he's got. And I wonder if we don't tie God's hands sometime and we say, God, why aren't you blessing? Why aren't you blessing? He said, because you ain't doing nothing with what I already gave you. Amen. Lord, we need a raise. And Lord says, I do too. Amen. Somebody said it. If there's anything in the Bible I could change, I believe I'd put it in there that God needs a raise. Amen. He's been getting by on 10% ever since Abraham. Amen. Waitress gets what, 15? A nice restaurant's 20, ain't it? I'm telling you, brother, if a waitress who brings the food to your table deserves 20%, God at least deserves 10. Amen? So I'm wondering sometimes if we're not just tying the hands of God and God's hearing your prayer and he's going, man, I'd love to help you, but you ain't doing your part. Amen. If you'll do your part, you'll find this precept or this concept all through the Bible where they brought the money to the house of God and then the work was done with the money that was brought. I loved it when they was gathering the money to build the temple and they finally had to say, whoa, that's enough. Would to God we'd have one of them days, brother. Amen. I said, whoa, y'all tithing too much, man. This is crazy. No, I don't think we'll ever have that problem. Amen. I don't believe we're in any danger of that. But this building is our responsibility. Now, secondly, in verse number 9, look at verse number 9. I'm going to show you why you don't care about the building. But Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest and bored a hole in it. We read it a while ago. In the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Listen carefully. There must be a burden. There must be a burden. If we're going to take care of what God's given us like we're supposed to, you've got to care. You've got to care whether or not the door's unlocked. You've got to care whether or not your children left Laffy Taffy in the floor. You've got to care whether the songbooks are in the floor or on the rack. You've got to really care. I really care how this place looks. Listen, my wife is a house cleaning machine when company's coming. Anybody's wife like that? I mean, goes far and beyond. I mean, when we're having a big eating at our house, and we do that all the time, I mean, brother, she goes deep cleaning mode. I mean, the floor's getting mopped, the furniture gets, dusted. I mean, everything gets done. Light bulbs get changed. Ceiling fan blades get cleaned off. Why? Company's coming. Did y'all see how much company we had this morning? Did anybody notice how much company we had this morning? I know 8 visitors myself sitting right there this morning. I had a guy here this morning. I can't even remember his name because they call him a nickname. I had a guy here this morning who worked on my truck a while back, and I invited him to church then, and then I run into him up here. Who? Chad. And I run into him up here in town again the other day at the fundraiser. I said, man, when you going to come? He said, I'm going to come. Him and his little old wife come this morning. And you know what? I care what their first impression of this place was. I care what they thought about this place as they pulled up and saw the front, whether or not the grass was cut or whether or not the front of the property was clean. I care what they thought about this place. And I care what they thought about whether or not there was cars sitting in the reserve for visitors parking. We got a special place. There's signs on the side of the building, reserved for visitors. And I've seen some of your cars in them over and over and over. Can I just tell you, company's coming? Company's coming. I don't understand it. When I tell other preachers about it, they look at me like they don't believe it. I do not know of a church that has more visitors than we do. I really, no, I'm not bragging or being boastful. I don't know why it is. God just blessing because of everything else we do, I reckon. But he sends them week after week after week after week. There's no way. You can't keep up with it. A lot of them don't fill out a visitor's card. I don't know who's been here and who hasn't. But every Sunday, and I hope with this choir got started back, y'all starting to see. I told the choir this morning, I said, there's visitors all over this building. I said, when you come down, do not fellowship with one person you know. You go see them visitors. I care what they think. I care what they think. I wonder a lot of times. I'd love to be a fly on the back glass of their car on the way home. I'd love to hear what they had to say. And I'd love to record it and play it back for you. That church was filthy. Those people fellowshiped for 10 minutes, but didn't nobody say nothing to us. They must not have been glad we were there. I watched two ladies stand, well, I ain't even going to say where because you'll know who I'm talking about, but I watched two ladies stand right here in the vicinity of the pulpit on a Sunday morning with a visitor sitting right behind in the pew behind them. They stood there and talked until I said, all right, appreciate the good time of fellowship, let's get a seat. Never once shook that lady's hand. Didn't say, hey, kiss my foot, glad you're here. Amen. To a visitor, you know what that says? We could care less.
That's right.
We could care less whether you're here or not.
Amen.
That's your responsibility.
Amen.
It's your responsibility. There's no way I can get off the platform during fellowship because somebody's up here yakking my ear off but telling me something I don't need to hear right now anyway. But I'm going to get all my pet peeves out tonight. Y'all leave me alone before I preach. Amen. It's not a counseling station up here. Amen. But seriously, there's no way I can get around and shake every visitor's hand during fellowship. I can't do it. Amen. That's why a lot of times I just get off platform during the singing. I did this morning and went and shook their hand, told them how glad I was they was here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But that's your responsibility too.
Amen.
Amen. They need to know. Hey, listen, the name of the sign out there is Happy Valley Baptist Church. They ought to leave here and feel like, man, that was a happy church right there. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. We ought to have a burden. You should care. You should care. God wants to grow this ministry. There's no doubt in my mind. His hand is on this place. No doubt in my mind. Somebody gets saved here. It's rare when somebody don't get saved here on Sunday. It's a rare thing. God's using this RU ministry like crazy. In our own people. It ain't people flooding in from everywhere else. These people, I've heard testimony after testimony out of our church how it's changed their life. I'm telling you, God's wanting to do some things in here. But we've got to do our part. We're going to have to step up a little bit from the pulpit to the balcony. We're going to have to step it up just a little bit and do a little better with what God's given us. Amen?
Amen.
There was a building. There was a burden. Somebody had a burden to get something done about the house of God. Listen, won't nothing get done if you don't have a burden. If you ain't got a burden for bus children, you ain't going to be a bus captain. You ain't gonna last in the bus ministry if you ain't got a burden. You won't last in the jail ministry if you ain't got a burden. Brother Ryan, you won't last in the nursing home or assisted living ministry if you don't have a burden. You got to have a burden for what? You got to care about what you're doing. My main thing, of course, there's many other little things that go along with my job and my title, but my main thing is preaching this book right here. And I care about it. I take it seriously. I know I cut up while I'm preaching, but I'm taking what I do very seriously. Why? Because I care. Man, this morning my heart was tore out of frame. I could see little Angie sitting back. I see the Lord dealing with her heart, man. Man, I cared whether or not she heard what I had to say. I was praying in my mind while I was preaching, God, please don't let a baby start crying around her.
Amen.
I care about this stuff, man. I take it serious. And I want you to, too. I want you to care about it like I do. I want you to care about this place like I do. This special place. There's a few special places in my life that God just, I mean, they're special places. That pine tree I got saved under. Brother Jay's front yard, that's a special place to me. That's a special place for me. That communion table where I was knelt under praying at White Oak when I surrendered my life to God, that's a special place. That pulpit at White Oak where I preached my first sermon, that's a special place.
Amen.
Special place to me. That pulpit over yonder on Happy Valley Church Road, that's a special place to me. This pulpit right here is a special place to me. And if it's special to you, preacher, it ought to be special to you.
Amen.
I can remember when I was little. Of course, I don't care. It don't bother me. But, buddy, you didn't play on the platform. We got whoopings for it. I mean, they'd snatch you. Charles Williams would snatch you up. I'm talking about the pastor, not daddy. The pastor, Brother Charles, would snatch you up and have you off the floor like that and bust your rear end and say, get off this platform.
Amen.
Yes, sir, he would. Tell me, Brother Greg, wouldn't he do it? You know why? They were trying to teach a respect for this place. They were trying to teach a respect for this place. I don't care if your children come up here. Don't say Brother Eddie's going to whoop our kids. I ain't going to whoop your kids. Amen. But we ought to teach them a respect for God's house. Amen. By what we're teaching them now, in 50 years, what's this place going to look like? If they follow our lead after we're gone, it's going to fall down. It's going to fall, crumble to the ground. Amen. We need to care. You know what we need? You know what we need? We need carpet. We need carpet. We've been here 15 years, and I'm looking at the same stains I've been looking at for 15 years. We need carpet. Ain't nobody agreeing with me. You don't care what it looks like, do you? Just go on die on me. This place needs some work. It needs to be redone. We've got windows that if you pushed them a little bit, they'd fall out. We need a burden. We need to care. Yeah, but we can't afford. That's always our excuse. We can't afford to do this. We can't afford to take that on or take that on. If we'd get this first part, we would. Which brings me to the next word, the bringing. We had the building. Then there was a burden. Had the building that was in disrepair. Then there was a burden about the building. Now, what's the solution? What are we going to do? Well, we got all these people here. And God's already told them to tithe and bring it to the storehouse. Let's get on them a little bit and tell them, let's get this collection in here. And we'll fix the house of God. Amen. Brother Tom, he may talk to you a lot about money because he's overwhelmed with it. Would you like his job? Would you like to be responsible for all this church's money and all this church's debt and all this church's bills? Serious question. It's a lot. It's a lot to do. I don't want it. It's all I can do to pay mine. I don't want this job. But I tell you what, I'd love to give him what he needs to be able to do his job. You follow the pattern here? They brought it. We got the easy part. They brought it, put it in the box, the priest put it in the bags, and they distributed it where it needed to go. Tom's the guy with the bags. We bring it, put it in the box, we give it to Brother Tom, and he puts it where it needs to go. Gas bill. Light bill. Mortgage. Insurance. I mean, brother, and it goes on and on. Telephone. Copying machine. It takes a lot. It takes a lot. Every time you go to that copying machine, Patch Club, or RU, or Sunday school teacher, every time you go to that fax machine, well, it's just paper and ink and an upkeep contract. I'm telling you, it takes money. It takes money. It blows my mind when I look at the breakdown of our finances of what all we owe and all this kind of stuff. Blows my mind how all these little things, the dumpster. The dumpster stays full and we're not filling it. Somebody else is. Amen. Tightwad, get you a trash can to put out on the end of your driveway on trash day. Somebody help me right there. There was a building, a burden, and then a bringing. Do you know why I don't mind bringing it? You know why it doesn't bother me to write my tithe check every Sunday morning and my offering and my missions? You know why it don't bother me? I like what it's doing. I like what it's doing. And I'm not one of those church members. I know I'm the pastor, but I'm going to put myself in your position for a minute. I'm not one of those church members who's got to know where every dime and dollar goes. I don't care. When I'm seeing this happen, like with little Angie getting saved this morning, when I see those smiling bus kids hugging my neck every Sunday morning, I don't care. I don't care what it takes to make this place go. Just make it happen. Amen. I know we got to be frugal and we ought to be good stewards of God's money. But, you know, people say, well, that's ridiculous. Pay that much money for a copying machine. Well, let's try to do it that way. Children, we're going to color Joseph's coat of many colors today. Just do it on your hand.
Yeah, come on, Brandon.
Try to do it without it. Try to run this. I know it's just a copying machine. Amen. But it's important. Yeah. It's important. The telephones are important. We even looked at a kind of a budget one time. Me and Brother Tom was looking over all our phones. We was trying to figure out what we could do without. I had some ideas. We could do away with the dumpster. We just start bringing our garbage to your house. Y'all okay? I'm not being a smart aleck tonight. I'm just saying this is our responsibility.
Amen.
It's our job to bring it.
Amen.
It's our job to bring it. Let me say it again. It's our job to bring it. And
amen.
Somebody else needs to preach this beside the pastor. It's the hardest thing in the world for the pastor to do. But it's up to you whether or not I eat. I'm your responsibility.
Amen.
And I don't mean that in a bragging way. Please don't take me wrong. But it's our job. It's our job to take care of him. It's our job to take care of him. Amen. Brother Charles runs all over the country going to hospitals and funeral homes. I mean, whatever I need, man, he's there. He's the best hospital guy in the world. If you're dying, that's who you want standing by your bed. You don't want me and Brother Freddie. You want Brother Charles. Amen. I mean, he's just, that's his cup of tea, right? And he's good at it. He's good with people who are suffering is what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
I told the men in the meeting the other day, I said, Brother Tom, get Brother Charles a gas card.
Amen.
You shouldn't have to burn his gas out to go see you in the hospital. Amen. We ought to take care of that.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Amen. I don't mind doing it one bit.
Yeah.
Amen. Whether, amen or oh me, we have the building, then the burden for the building. Then the solution, bring in what you got. Bring in what you got. I promise you, if you'll try the Lord, I ain't talking about 1 week. Give God a month.
Yeah, come on, preacher. Yeah.
Give God at least a month and show God you're going to. Listen, here was my attitude. God, I'm going to bring it whether you help me or not.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it because I know now, because this good brother taught me in the bass boat that I was supposed to do it. I'm going to do it. Just because I'm supposed to. And I want you to be pleased. And boy, God started taking care of me. I don't, my wife tell you, I don't know how we made it. I don't know how we've got by, but God always does it. God takes care of it every single time. Listen, my truck cost me $1,400 last month. $1,400. I can't explain it. Most of y'all know what I make. I make $750 a week. It was there. I'm here to tell you, you can't outgive him. You can't outdo it. There's the building, the burden, the bringing. Now I want you to notice the business. And that's where we lack a whole lot in this church. I don't like churches that just run like a corporation. And I know them. I know churches, they're set up and they're run just like a corporation. They don't give a flip about people. All they want to know is about their CDs in the bank. This church will not be having CDs in the bank. We'll have CDs on the mission field. How about that?
Amen.
That's where we'll put our savings. Amen?
Yeah.
We'll have our CDs and more buses and bringing in more children. That's where we'll lay up our treasure. Amen?
Yeah.
We're not like that. But at the same time, there is business to it. You understand that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be handled. And it's got to be, and not just so nonchalantly, well, God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. Yeah, but he needs us to do it. And we've got to get that in our head. It's my job to do it.
Yeah.
Amen. This is my part. This is what I owe God. Amen. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter number 3. I want you to notice that if you'll take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours.
Yeah.
Y'all okay tonight? The majority of you know my heart, and you know me. And you know I don't like doing this. I do not like doing this. But God said it's needful. And I'm trying my best not to fuss tonight, but I want you to take note. And I want you to learn. And I want you to pray and ask God what he'd have you to do. Amen. In all these areas, in taking better care of our church, and giving your tithes and your offerings. Amen. You can afford it. You can. If you've got an income, you can afford it. You ought to start teaching your children. We did. You'll start teaching your children. They get them a little part-time job. Hey, I've got kids around here that they tithe their birthday money.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? God gave it to them. Amen. If we'll teach them early, that's who's going to take over this thing. And I'd love by the time we hand over the wheel to them that they'd have what they need to get the job done. Amen. I'm tired of struggling. I really am. I prayed. I've told the Lord, Lord, I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of barely making it every month and wondering where it's going to come from and how we're going to pay this and how we're going to pay that. Lord, I'm tired of wondering about it. I don't worry about it anymore, but I do wonder.
Amen.
I'm tired of seeing Tom about to have a nervous breakdown. Drinking Maalox, probably on some kind of drugs, antidepressants or something. Seriously. And I told the Lord, I'm tired of that. And the Lord said, there's a remedy. There's a remedy. And here's where I used to pray, and I apologize for praying this way. I used to pray all the time, God, send us givers, send us big givers. In other words, I was praying for rich people. You know what God said? I'm going to send who you need. Not who you want, I'm going to send who you need. And I'm going to send who I need to get some help from that place. In other words, the Lord's saying, they're already there. They're already there. We can't afford our property. We can't afford our church. Amen? We have people in areas of leadership. And I'm never nosy, I rarely even ask, but I did today. We have people in leadership positions in our church that are not tithing. You're setting the example. Amen? Hey, I could easily take that tithing envelope out of my shirt pocket and just give it to Brother Tom. I could just give them the checks to him right then when I write them because I'm always sitting right in front of him when I do it. But I don't. You know what? I bring them in here. I pull mine out of my pocket just like you do and put them in that offering plate right in front of you. Why? I want to be a good example. I want to be a good example to the people I'm trying to lead.
Yes,
amen. We still okay tonight?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 3. Did I tell you to go there?
Yes,
I'm almost done. We'll go eat Mexican, all right? Watch it, verse number 9. The Bible said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now watch verse number 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You want God to take care of your business? Take care of His. Do you want God to take care of your business? Let's take care of His. I do not want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord say, I had to stop running one of them buses because you wouldn't give. And I want you to know how many children are going to hell because they never heard about Jesus. Because you said you couldn't afford to tithe. I don't want that on my hands. Amen. If we'll take care of His, He'll take care of ours. I'm living proof. And there's many people. How many of you would say, I know that's the truth? As long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, God takes care of me. I don't always know where it's going to come from, but He always does it. Amen. I'm not worried about the finances. God always does it. God always does it. But we definitely need a tune-up.
Amen.
Amen. We definitely need a tune-up. We need to hear this tonight. Now, I want you to go to last chapter, last verse, and I'll quit. Malachi chapter number 3. Can't preach on tithing and not go to Malachi chapter number 3. Y'all still doing all right? We're about out of here.
Amen.
Malachi chapter number 3. Look at verse number 8. Now, I know you didn't like it a while ago when I said you were thieves. I'll just let God do it. Look at verse number 8, Malachi chapter number 3. Still hearing pages turning, I'll wait on you. Malachi chapter number 3. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse number 8. Look at that first little phrase. It's got a question mark. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Now, we think about robbing God. You might be thinking about breaking into heaven and stealing the pearls off the pearly gate. That's not what he's talking about. We wouldn't rob God in the respect of coming in here and taking money out of the safe. I wouldn't. And most of you wouldn't either.
Right.
But you'd rob God by not giving God what's already His. Amen? You would rob God. Listen to the rest of the verse. Will a man rob God? Yet he said, ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. He said, you are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then verse number 10, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That sounds like a promise, Brother Greg. That sounds like a flat-footed promise from the Lord that if we'll do our part, God will put more on us than we can handle. Yeah. Amen. He'll give us more than we know what to do with. I know churches right here in this area that are struggling just like we are, but then I know some, they don't even know there's an economy problem, and they're in the same area we are. What's the difference? Their people give. Their people give. I was talking to a guy from a church over in Douglasville just the other night, and he said, how's things going? I said, we're doing good. I said, man, God's adding to the church. People are getting saved. I said, we struggle financially. He said, man, I don't know what it is. He said, we got more than we know what to do with. I said, send it our way. Amen. He said, it's always been like that. He said, but boy, our people just give. Our people just give. Our people love. Our people work. But our people have got to learn to give. Our people have got to learn to give. There was the building, the burden, the bringing, the business, and then there was the blessing. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing that you can't even receive it. Amen. He said, I'll fill up your barns. Amen. That's what I want. I want God's blessings, don't you? I don't like that curse business. He said, you're cursed with a curse because you robbed me. I don't want none of that. I don't want that on my children. I don't want that on my family. Amen. Listen. Somebody told me one day, and I'll never forget it. They said, preacher, as soon as I get a raise, we're going to start tithing. If you won't tithe on a little, you sure won't tithe on a lot. It's a lot easier to write a check for $20 than it is for $80. Amen. When you get a good little chunk of money, and the Lord blesses me that every now and then, and I get tithe on it, and you write that check and you go, I can't believe I'm doing it. Amen. Amen. I can't believe I'm doing it. Hey, it's a whole lot easier to tithe on 200 than it is 2,000.
That's right, preacher.
So don't tell me if you're not doing it with a little, you're going to do it with a lot. You won't. You won't. Start somewhere. Husband and wife, don't have a great big fight over it, but sit down and talk to each other. And realize, hey, honey, we got to start doing this.
Yes, sir.
I know it looks like we probably can't. But is this church important to you?
Yes, sir.
Is it? Is what your children get in here week in and week out, is that important to you?
Yeah.
I don't want to have to stop anything we're doing. I don't want to have to change anything we're doing. Amen. I want this thing to roll on.
Amen.
I don't want it to decrease. That's not God's will. I want it to increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's going to take me and you to do it. And here's the thing. We can do it. We can do it if I'll just do my part. And my part ain't much. But if you'll do your part, and your part ain't much.
Yeah.
Look, man, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many people's got a dollar. There's probably 200 people here tonight. I can't do much with a dollar, but I can do something with 200 of them.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's good.
Does that make sense? That's how this thing works.
Yes,
little is much when God is in it. Amen. I take my dollar and Brother Robbie's dollar and Brother James's dollar and Stacy's dollar and Brother Freddie's and Jason's and Greg's and Brother Charles's. And, hey, we're getting somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Then what if somebody goes, I'm sorry, I ain't got a dollar, but here's a five.
Amen.
You get the picture?
Hallelujah.
That's how it works. Let's quit whining about being poor.
Yeah.
Let's quit whining about being, we're not poor, we're rich, man.
Yes, sir.
We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're not poor. I'm not saying that again. I'm not. I'm going to take that out of my vocabulary. Well, we just a poor church. No, we're not. We're rich. And we can do this. I'm convinced. How do you know, preacher? We've done it before. And I watch it go like this. And it's like you'll do good for a little while, and then you'll... We'd rather have satellite.
Yeah.
Amen. And then it'll go in the hole for a little while. It's back up a little better today. Still not what I think it ought to be. I figured it up time and time again. I averaged if each family made this amount of money and tried to figure it on a low end, because we don't have many professional people in this building. And if everybody did their part, we wouldn't have no trouble. Every one of our missionaries would get their money and they'd get it on time. And they'd get what we purposed in our heart to give them. It wouldn't be a decreased amount. Amen? Amen. Whew. I hope it was a help. I hope you don't leave mad at the preacher. But we do have a responsibility. This is a good church. God is blessing. He shows up faithfully. I mean, brother, I felt like I could just reach out and touch him this morning, Brother Freddie. I mean, it was just that real. I come to church doubting this morning. I really did. I was doubting my message. I was doubting myself. And boy, the Lord just showed up. Started helping people. Man, I started seeing people that I've been personally praying for down here on this altar. When Terry Fennell's boy hit this altar, boy, I'm telling you, it stirred something in my heart. Man, I want this place to thrive. When his daughter got up and testified this morning, my soul, I thought I was going to leave this world. Brother, I want those things to continue. And God favors us week after week. I remember what a preacher in Alabama told me, and I'm done. I remember a preacher in Alabama told me one time, he said, y'all got the Holy Ghost hemmed up over there, ain't you? No, he's got us hemmed up, amen? God's been faithful all these years. Come May, 20 years. And God was blessing Happy Valley before I ever got here too. But come May, I'll be here 20 years, and God's been good, man. But I won't be good to him, amen? Let's try to do a little better. Think about things. Notice things around. I appreciate these ladies. Sister Megan, and who helped you? Susan with the curtains. They come up here and took, these curtains were nearly black. We've been wanting to wash them for years, but the ladies was afraid if they did, they'd fall apart. She said, can I just try one? I said, yeah, get that one out of that corner right there. I believe it was. Wasn't it that one? I said, take that one out of that corner and see how it does. Man, they took that thing down and got it washed, and look there, it's white now. And it looks so good, and the rest of them, once you saw the clean one, the rest of them looked really bad. And they took all this. They just took that on their self. It wasn't a committee got together and said, we need to wash them curtains. They just noticed they was dirty and said, hey, can I wash them curtains? Help yourself. Amen. Some of you get a striking notion to recarpet this thing. Help yourself. Amen. Amen. I really would. I'd love to. Of course, camp meeting's on us, but I'd love to have new carpet in here by camp meeting. Hardwood up here on this platform. Amen. I don't believe God's going to leave us in this building forever. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's going to happen, but I really don't. We've outgrown it about 15 times. Amen. But I want to be good caretakers. If I thought we were moving in a month, I'd want to take care of it while we're here. Amen. I believe that's the right way. I believe that's God's way. Amen. So I wonder how many of you, after hearing the message tonight, will even bother to look around your seat before you get up to leave and pick up garbage, put your songbooks back. Hey, we have ladies come in here and clean every week. That makes it a whole lot easier on them if we just do our part. Hey, ladies, that's why women tote a purse. I learned that when I was a little boy. That's where all the kids' chewing gum paper goes. Amen. And then when you get done with your chewing gum, you reach in there and get that paper and spit it in that paper and put it back in the purse. Amen. That's what mama's pocketbook's for. It's a garbage can. Amen. There's a garbage can in every pew in this building tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't even know if I should give an altar call after that, but Brother Todd, if y'all come, maybe just one verse or something. Let's stand to our feet and we'll have a verse of altar call. Brother Casey, come up here, brother. I almost forgot you again.
Mine ain't gonna be no better, so don't feel worse.
Brother Casey.